Let us pray. God of truth, we have heard your law, and we seek to be faithful. Our obedience falters, our understanding is weak. Speak to us and write your law on our hearts, that we might truly be faithful, not in duty, but in love and joy. Amen. A reading from Deuteronomy. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in God's ways, and observing God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your hearts turn away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying God, and holding fast to God, for that means life and length of your days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. The word of life. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, earlier I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people controlled by selfish desires, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still controlled by those desires. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not controlled by desire and behaving according to human inclinations? But when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? But what is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. The word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel in the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to people of ancient times, 'You shall not murder.' It was said, 'Anyone who murders is liable to judgment.' But I say to you, anyone who is angry with a sister or brother is liable to judgment. Anyone who insults a sister or brother is liable to the council. Anyone who says, 'You fool,' is liable to the fires of hell. So if you are bringing your gift to the altar and you remember that a brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift at the altar and go first be reconciled with your sister or brother. Then come and bring your gift to the altar. I tell you, make your peace with your accuser while you're still on the way to the court. Otherwise, your accuser will hand you over to the judge and the judge over to the guard, and you'll be thrown in jail. And I'm telling you, you won't get out till you pay the last penny. You have heard that it was said, You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you even look at somebody with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better to lose a member than have your whole body thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better to lose a member than to have your whole body go into hell. You've heard it said, if you divorce a woman, you have to give her a certificate of divorce. I say, if you divorce a woman except for unchastity, you force her to commit adultery. And if you marry a divorced woman, you commit adultery. You've heard it said, you should fulfill all the vows that you make to the Lord and not swear falsely. I say to you, don't swear at all. Don't swear on heaven, which is God's throne, or on earth, which is God's footstool, or on Jerusalem, which is the city of the great king. Don't swear on your head because you can't make one hair of your head black or white. No. Just let your word be yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the tempter. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, don't resist an evildoer. You've heard it said, you should love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You wonder what Jesus is doing with the commandments in this passage. He has said before this, I've come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And then he takes these laws and says, well, you've heard it said this, but that's not the case. And then what he seems to do is make them harder. I've been watching some of those races on the Olympics. You know, they're going down these insanely steep mountains. 60, 70, 80 miles an hour with all these little flags that they have to go around. And it's hard, and they make it hard on purpose. So you've got this big jump, and then you already have to have changed directions in midair so that when you land, you're ready to go around the next gate. And you've got all these little gates, and you have to make them just right. And with some of them, if you are just this far off and you clip and your ski goes on the wrong side of the gate, you are out. You goofed it. End of the race. Did not finish. Think how many people have turned the commandments of God into something like that. You've got to work so hard to get right through this gate. And then Jesus comes along and makes it worse. He says, not only do you have to get through this gate that there's no murder, he goes and makes the gate so skinny, you can't even be mad at somebody. Oh, man. And then he goes through all these laws and makes them even harder. I'm not saying you can't commit adultery. I'm saying you can't even look at somebody lustfully. Okay, we're all dead. Here's the deal. The commandments of God are not requirements. They're gifts. We think of the commandments of God so easily as these gates that we have to get through. And it's really hard because you're going really fast and life comes at you and, whoa, don't make any mistakes. And it's all about God taking off points. We amateurs just watch those skaters and they go jump up in the air, they go, whoa, 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 and we think, wow, that's amazing. And sometimes they land it perfectly and sometimes they wobble and sometimes they fall down. And when they fall down, I say, that's still amazing. Well, the judges don't say that, right? They're going, 2 points here and 2 points there. And the law of God is not this scale by which God is taking off points. The law of God is more like a pair of ice skates that God gives you and says, here, put these on. Learn how to skate. The law of God is like a sweater that God gives you for the birthday and says, it's perfect. It makes you beautiful. Put it on and wear it. The thing is, people used to ask Jesus about the commandments. Now, you know, every time anybody asked Jesus a question, he answered with another question or a story that might seem to be about that and might seem to be sort of about something else. Or he changed the question or he turned it back on the listener. He did some weird thing. Out of all the times Jesus was asked questions, there's only two or three times that he just answered the question. And one of those was when somebody said, "So, what's the greatest commandment?" Well, there's, 640 of them in the Old Testament, so you could argue about that all day. Jesus went straight for it and said, "Here it is. Love God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, with everything you have, nothing left over." And there's a flip side to it. Another commandment that's the same thing from the other side. Love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hang all the rest. So all the laws of God are basically ways to love God and love your neighbor. So what Jesus is saying is the law isn't just don't murder. The law is love. So even if you get angry, even if you insult somebody, you are already not loving them. That sort of weird way that we've maneuvered the gates to make it so oppressive and impossible is especially evident with that law about divorce. We've turned it into this crazy way of hurting people by saying, well, you can't get divorced and you can't marry anybody who's divorced because that's sinful, and it just sort of narrowing the gates. Jesus was talking in a culture in which only men could marry or divorce women. Women didn't have that choice. So he's talking to men who have all the power and saying, don't abuse your power. If you choose a woman, then you have put her in a position where she has no option other than to depend on you. Okay, then do it. Follow through. Be faithful to her. I don't care if you don't like her. Be faithful to her anyway. It's very different than just follow the rules and don't divorce. The rule is love. I've told you this before, and I'll tell it again. It's my one sermon. There are two religions in the world, and everybody practices one or the other all the time. Christians and Hindus and crystal worshippers and atheists, we're always choosing between the religion of being right and the religion of being in love. And if you want to get it right, if you want to understand how the world works and get all the rules and control it so that it all works okay, say the right prayer and the rain will come, or follow all the rules and then you get sent to heaven, you can do that. But if you follow all the rules, sooner or later, you will hurt somebody. And if you really are practicing the religion of being in love, you just are overwhelmed that God loves you and you love everybody else the same way. Sooner or later, you're going to break a rule. And Jesus showed us how that works. When he healed on the Sabbath, when he did all those things that broke the rules in order to love people. What Jesus is saying is there's only one rule, and it's not a requirement, it's a gift. Love everybody. When we get all tangled up in the Ten Commandments, Jesus boiled them down to one. This is my commandment that I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So here's the deal. Think of somebody that you find it really hard to get along with. Somebody who drives you nuts. Somebody that just annoys the heck out of you. Maybe somebody who even actually hurts you. Imagine this, that what Jesus is saying is, just love them. Your religion doesn't count for anything unless you love them. If you're bringing your gift to the altar, if you think you are getting right with God by doing everything right, and you're not loving your neighbor, then drop your religion. Leave it alone and go get reconciled with your sister or your brother. Then you have a gift to give God. God does not want you to be right. God wants you to be in love. When it seems impossible, Well, it seems like that annoying person is maybe kind of really too much. There's a couple of things. One is Jesus' invitation to love even our enemies is not asking us to be abused. It's not loving to allow somebody to be abusive. So sometimes you need to stand up for that. The trick is you have to do it with love. But here's the second thing. When it seems so impossible to be that loving, to love everybody that perfectly, no matter what. And it's hard, because we always want to dilute our love. You know, you want to love somebody, but you also want to teach them a lesson. You know you're supposed to love them, but you also still want to be right. You want to win the argument. You want to get your way. You want to do something besides just love them. When that seems so hard, remember this, that Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Remember how you've been loved. Remember how, like a mother of a newborn who has just been spit up on, God loves us anyway. God says over and over, you are more messed up than you know. And I love you. You are mine. Imagine how deeply we have been loved. Remember how you have been forgiven and accepted and cherished, no matter what. And it doesn't really matter how you treat the other person, as long as you remember that and stay in that love. Because it's really God's love for them that becomes the love that we have for them. That's what enables us to not be angry, to be faithful and honest with one another, to fulfill the promises that we make. It's not a matter of making it around all those gates. It's just a matter of remembering how deeply we've been loved, how God doesn't compromise or dilute God's love for us with any sort of anger or judgment, just pure love. And let that fill you and direct how you live. The commandments of God are not tough requirements. They're gifts. And God says, put it on. Wear it. You look beautiful in it. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for your infinite love. And we pray that it fill our hearts, that we may love others with your perfect love. God of grace, we thank you. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.